Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mash.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Cam needs help. New England's last in the NFL in receiving yards and receiving touchdowns. This was a Brady complaint. Now, Cam got real loose yesterday with his mechanics, and the offensive line was beat up. They have no vertical threat. That Bird kid, that's not a starting receiver. This is the weakest receiving core in the NFL. N'Keal Harry appears to be a bust. Can't separate. Edelman now, drops are contagious. Their best receiver is James White, the running back. They have no weapons. There's nothing to throw to. It's the weakness, the blind spot of the best football coach ever, Bill Belichick.
Hour 2, Agenda Free Friday, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Catch them at BernardiAutoGroup.com. It's now time for what matters most. This week in sports, it's presented by Kaplansky Insurance. They protect what matters most for auto, home, or business insurance. Experience a Kaplansky difference today. Yes, there is a difference. Kaplansky with a K, Kaplansky.com. What matters most is this thing that as soon as the star quarterback starts to falter, we blame the receivers. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate when it's done here, and it was for years with Brady. I hate when they do it in Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers. They didn't draft a receiver. What is he surrounded by? It's like, if you're a great quarterback, you make those around you better. And while I still acknowledge that the receivers here or in Green Bay or whatever may not be great, but it's such a cop-out. When the quarterback plays great, it's like pants off for the quarterback. But then as soon as he plays poorly, let's blame everything around him. I hate that. So I fully acknowledge that the pass catchers here are wanting. Newton also sucked, and he needs to be better. Coward started to mention it there. That's Colin Coward, our buddy. His mechanics were off. He got loose. He held the ball. Yep. So let's just stick with that.
He was bad.
But then Coward immediately goes to, well, Damier Bird's not a starting receiver. Well, if Cam Newton isn't setting his feet and throwing the ball properly, it doesn't matter who you have out there. So let's start with that. And hopefully, I think Newton acknowledges that, and I think he will be better. Like, the team needs a big bounce back, and I think he needs a big bounce back, and I expect it this week. I do. But, you know, as soon as the quarterback has a bad game, let's not just sit there and look at the receivers. Look at the quarterback, too.
I mean, I think everybody and anybody who's even remotely connected to the Patriots needs to see a good game this week. Like, really. And Newton's a big one. I'm starting to worry about that arm.
At the very least, I just want to see better, better pocket awareness. Get rid of the ball.
Totally. So, some of those throws in that game, like, I'm starting to worry about the arm a little, too.
So, again, that's what matters most. Kaplansky.com, Kaplansky Insurance brings you that. So, big week. How big of a week? So, you know, watching the Greenberg experience this morning, as I usually do. Listen to Rob Ninkovich, former Patriot. What his take is on this game this week, Jimmy. Give me that if you have it, please.
Yeah, I personally think this is the biggest regular season game that I could think of ever right now for the Patriots.
So we're getting started. Thank you. Biggest regular season game ever?
Okay, so I heard that and I thought, boy, that's a little bit of hyperbole.
Let's not go back to Pete Carroll and Bill Parcells. Let's just keep it in the Belichick era. Go ahead.
Okay, no, so I thought that was hyperbole. I mean, I thought, okay, let's not go that far. But then when he goes on, I started to think he might not be wrong.
Well, go on then.
Yeah, I personally think this is the biggest regular season game that I could think of ever right now for the Patriots in the last 10 years. You even go back farther than that. It hasn't been since 2000 that they've been 2-4. So to be 2-3, I mean, that's a place they've never been. 2-4, I don't even know what it would be like to be in that building at 2-4. And I can tell you this, this is a big week for the Pats.
Okay.
So again, when he put it in those terms, they've never been 2-4 since Brady became the starter, basically. Never. When I heard that, I went, wow.
And I sent it to you guys, I think, earlier in the week. Bill's only been 2-4 in his coaching career twice, in 2000, the first year in Cleveland.
So I understand his point. I understand his point. Now, again, I'd have to go back and say, you know, what regular season games where they had to win to get a bye, or, you know, to avoid, you know, the game after Kansas City. Remember, they came home, played Cincinnati. That was a big night, and they dominated.
Yeah, on to Cincinnati.
Yeah, there were some along the way that I remember. But I think he's got a point. He's got a point. Your season's at stake in week 5, 6, whatever it is.
So going into it, fine. It's a big one. If on the back slope, no one thought week 17 last year against Miami was going to be one of the biggest regular season games in Patriots history. It was. It was. Losing that game to Miami in week 17 last year was the final nail in the Tom Brady coffin. That may be the biggest regular season game in Patriots history, or one of them anyway. So, but no one said that going into the thing. Going into this, I see his point. They're teetering these next couple weeks, teetering. One little follow-up comment.
I mean, just think of that quickly. Nobody who's ever played for Belichick in the last 20 years has ever been 2-4.
No one knows what that's like around here.
That's unbelievable.
What did our buddy Bart Scott say afterwards, Jim?
You talk about every time, you know, Bill was banging that gavel, he had the goat behind him. It's kind of like when you're getting bullied and the little kid comes and he's screaming at the crowd and everybody's afraid, but they don't realize that his big brother's behind him. You know, Tom Brady's the goat, and Tom Brady's always been able to be a force multiplier. So when Bill Belichick makes a bad decision like drafting a guy like N'Keal Harry, who hasn't worked out, who hasn't lived up to expectations, he was always able to get them to perform at a high level. So now, you know, we've been asking this question for decades, and we believe this is why Tom Brady left and decided to go somewhere else. Is it more about Bill Belichick and his ability to bring troops together and be a leader of men? Or is it Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, being able to overcome any obstacle that he's put in because he's just that great?
Okay, goes back to that, doesn't it?
It does. And again, he makes an excellent point. Like, we've always said Belichick the coach bails out Belichick the GM. Maybe it was the Brady, the quarterback, who bailed out Belichick, the GM.
So we're in one of these spots. Not a very talented roster. Kind of at a crossroads. Can they peel themselves off the mat and, you know, turn it around? And Brady's not here to do it for him. So what has Bill got? It's a big referendum.
Yeah, it's a big week for Bill. It is. I mean, you say Newton, you know, Newton's career is at stake. But it's a big week for Bill, too.
Yes, sir.
Because if they fall on their face, and I would even add Josh McDaniels on the list. Like, although, you know, I don't know how much he had to do with last week. I didn't love the play calling, but nonetheless. Like, all of it. The whole thing. You look at it and say, it's a big week.
Okay, Agenda Free Friday is your calls. Aldo and Ludlow, go.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Big Jim, I got to compliment you. That trimmer, I never thought I needed it. Because I used the regular trimmer, you know, the old barbershop thing, but oh my God, Malone, thank you. My girl thanks you, Jim.
Okay.
Anyway, my call. Does Sam Newton not know that he is the problem so far?
Oh, I don't think, no.
I don't think he does.
No, well, he's not the problem so far. That's asinine.
How can he go from being the offense to the problem fast? He's had a bad couple of games.
That's it. That is it. And so there's a lot on him. I mean, it begins and ends with him offensively. And I think he knows that. And so as his game has gone south, their game has gone south, all of that. But he's not the problem. I mean, like, let's not be silly. He's going to be the answer, not the problem.
I can't imagine that the whole thing got that bad that fast. Now, look, let's be honest, too. They did have some unusual circumstances.
The COVID thing, again, if you want to blame him or not, you want to be a bad person like me and sort of put that on the list and, you know, hold him responsible or not. You can take either side of that. The fact is, it did. This sort of spin right here sort of began with that. I know the Vegas game wasn't great, but they still pulled it out and we're still the Patriots. It sort of started with that.
Yeah, they've been flipped upside down for a couple of weeks.
Okay, so if that's what the caller's referring to, I kind of get what you're saying. So there maybe he needs to atone for that as well.
Yeah, I just
brush that off.
I just have a hard time believing they are as bad as they played last week. I have a hard time believing that. I think that that's the exception rather than the rule. Now, that doesn't mean they'll win on Sunday, but I have to believe we see something closer to the first 2 weeks.
Andre in Boston, what do you got on Agenda Free Friday?
Hello?
Andre, quick.
Yeah, I'm here. I have a question. As far as the fans in Gillette Stadium, it's a two-part question. I know that kind of has to do with the state. I don't think the Patriots have anything to do with letting them have fans there. But my other question is, at this point, do you feel like the Patriots almost are happy to go play games elsewhere where their fans, like, I'd rather get booed than have Bedard staring at me. I feel like it's a disadvantage at some point mentally.
Andre, that's a great call. Talk about creeping yourself out. Empty stadium except for the big boy.
Yeah.
Surrounded by a sea of empty seats just staring at you.
Yeah, like you're a big lamb chop.
Oh. That is, you're right. Maybe that would crawl inside of my head, too.
They've only played at one place where there's been fans, though, and that's Kansas City.
So
it's got to be weird for all these guys throughout the league when it's like empty like that.
At this juncture, though, aren't you a little used to it?
Well, and the other thing is, what about the other team? Like, you know, so I look at it and say, you're all in the same boat, fellas. Stop bitching about it. Not that they are, but anybody who's bitching about it, it's the same for everybody.
Here's
Adam Butler.
Thank you, Greg. Here's Chris and Newton with an interesting point we haven't brought up on this show, but I think it bears a quick mention. Go ahead, Chris.
Alan Branch.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Chris.
Hi there. Hey, you guys. I had a couple of things I wanted to
talk about. No, just one. Just give me the one. Just give me the thing you said to the call screener.
Oh, well, I was going to talk about vegan athletes.
Do it, quick.
Vegan athletes.
Go.
And tomorrow, Ennis Cantor will be making a virtual appearance at the 25th.
Okay, I can't do that. His comment line said Vegas said
vegan athletic athletes.
Vegan athletes. Vegan athletes. There's a whole debate in the nutrition community and the health and fitness community about the effects of vegan, the negative effects of veganism. And one is immune responses and your immune systems. And allegedly, according to some science and some research, that vegans suffer more immune problems and immunity problems and have weaker immunities because of the lack of iron, whatever.
Animal protein.
Okay, the animal protein's right. Thank you. Before I, you know, butcher it too badly.
Yeah.
But the research is there. Quick Google, you'll find it. The problems that vegans have both with in terms of immunity and injury recovery is supposed to be a thing that they have to deal with. Now, vegans fight it by saying there's supplements that bring us back up to level on all those things. And then there's scientists that have looked at all the supplements and all the things that they take and say, nope, no, sir. The animal proteins that you're not giving yourself hurt you when it comes to your immune system and injury recovery. And so, again, maybe I just thought it was relevant to bring up because COVID and Newton's injury recovery.
Right. Newton's a vegan.
And
right.
So this is just sort of like, keep it in mind.
Yeah. I think there's some merit to it. I mean, based on the, you know, just logic of it.
But I just find them annoying.
Right? Yeah. Like, let me see the menu. What else you got? Ugh. Can I would you just order your food and eat it?
Have a carrot and stay home.
But I say some merit. I'm not telling you I blame it exclusively. I'm just telling you I think there might be something to it.
But I find that about any picky eater, Murray. Anyone's got to, you know.
Oh, I'm with you 1,000%.
Perseverate over a menu. Just order your food and eat it, please. Let's go. Guy in Boston, real quick, which I know you'll be. What do you got?
Yes, this is for you, Felger. If you think Belichick is doing something, when they unveil his bust at the Hall of Fame, it's going to have Tom Brady's head on it. You could stick anybody in as quarterback. Right. Thank you.
You're welcome. See how it plays out. The Heat Miser, Bob Sosi, standing by. We'll talk to him next.
Goody.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Nitrane overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for.
Boo! Boo.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
He's Mr. Bob Sosi. He's got hot takes.
Yeah, it was miserable.
And he thinks.
thinks that Felger and Mads are just a couple of snakes.
He's Mr. Bob Sosie.
Yeah.
He's 5 foot fun.
5'2".
Here comes a take. That'll scorch you like the sun.
He likes to preach. You guys are really stupid. You guys will have to teach.
All right, we're working on new lyrics all the time. It's now time to chill with Bob Sosie, play-by-play announcer for the Patriots Radio Network, brought to you by Coors Light. Crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Coors Light, made for football, made to chill. How you doing, Robert?
I'm doing well. I want to show you guys on the TV. I don't know if you can see this.
Oh, that is great.
Oh, I like
it. In the mail.
Oh, that's tremendous.
So it's black T-shirt with a heat miser on it, and it says... I bring the heat.
I bring the heat, baby.
He even looks like you.
That is tremendous. All right, Bobby, how do you see this matchup this week?
You know, the Patriots are right where the Niners were last week, 2-3. You know, the season kind of hangs in the balance this next 3 or 4 week stretch. You've got the Niners and then the Bills, and a couple of weeks after that, the Baltimore Ravens. And they really need to play well, obviously, after last week and the loss at Kansas City back-to-back, particularly the way they looked on offense last week against Denver. This is a very important game, I think, for the complexion of this season for this team and maybe even beyond.
When we talk about the Patriots' offense, do you start with the quarterback, the talent around the quarterback, the lack of practice? I know I hate to use that excuse, but it is on the table there. How do you assess their problems there the last week and really the last couple of games?
Yeah, let's not use the lack of practice as an excuse, but yet it is a factor. And I think it was a factor certainly in the way they played the offensive line, the state of the offensive line going into the last game, which should be vastly improved for this game, should make a difference. Cam Newton, who hadn't practiced and hadn't played, of course, for a couple of weeks going into the Denver game, certainly didn't see things well by his own admission, didn't anticipate, didn't process. The mechanics were all out of whack. There were guys that initially I thought were not open when you called the game live and you follow the ball. And then, thereafter, there were certainly plays to be made, but they were just off right from the start. And it's not as though, I know a lot of people thought they came out flat. I thought at the time they were flat, but then, you rewatch the game and start to think about it. They pick up a first down right away and they're at midfield, and then there's the tip ball and the interception. And then the next drive, they're down 3-0, they get the ball back, or they're down 6-0, they get the ball back, and they're driving into Denver territory, and Cam takes a sack because he holds onto the ball too long, and that takes them out of field goal range. So I think it's one of those cases last week where it's not as bad as it seemed, just as maybe the first couple of weeks it wasn't as good as it seemed, particularly against Seattle. But this is a very important stretch, as I said, I think, for the offense and for Cam. And if you're asking me for one or two things, he's got to play a lot better by his own admission. They needed him to carry them early. He did in the first couple of games. He's got to do it again this week.
Bob, do you think their season's at stake in the next 2 weeks? And I don't mean they have to win them both, but do you think they have to play well and come out with at least a win?
Yeah, Tony, I don't know if the season is over if they lose this game or the next game or both, but because of the state of the division. Let's face it, the Bills have proven to be the Bills in October. There are questions not only about their offense and Allen in big game situations, but I think their defense, which is beat up a little bit now, which has not been the case the previous couple of years. And the Dolphins are 3-3. They think they're in it, but they've just committed to Tua. So how are they going to respond as a team to the young quarterback? So I think the state of the division means that even if the Patriots fall back to 2-4 after this game, for example, they're still in the running for a playoff spot for sure, especially now that there's a seventh spot available. But I think overall, this is a real critical stretch for them to play against the 49ers at home, getting San Francisco coming off a good win, but nonetheless, a shell of its former self. This team is beat up with 14, 15 guys on injured reserve and star quality players from Bosa and Thomas and Ford on the defensive line to Sherman in the secondary offensively without Tevin Coleman and Raheem Mostert, likelihood this weekend, of course, in the backfield. And they've got a quarterback who they're really trying to bring along coming off the ankle sprain and nurture his confidence and build up confidence with Jimmy coming into this game as well. So it's a quality opponent, but it's certainly a beatable opponent. And I think the Patriots have to take advantage.
Bob Sosie has a call with Zolak at 425 or 405?
425.
425 here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Bobby, Tell me about the Niners zone running game. Why you think that that's a good matchup for San Francisco against the Patriots?
Well, it's Kyle Shanahan and that running attack that he learned coaching under his dad, Mike Shanahan. And we know how good it was for the Broncos for all those years and what they did with pedestrian running backs becoming 1,000-yard rushers in Denver under Mike Shanahan and later Gary Kubiak, and the problems that it's presented for the Patriots. And I just think that the Pats' light front, in particular, you know, the struggles they've had at times the last couple of years on the edges. Now, it's a different kind of running game than Baltimore last year, but I thought that's when the Pats started to get exposed as a run defense with the Ravens last year. I thought certainly that Lindsay and Denver took advantage of the opportunity to run the ball last week. I thought Jacobs and Oakland ran it well, and they did. And now they're going up against an offense that has proven problematic in the past. In a great part because of the personnel. It's not only the backs that the Niners have had, and they'll have a young guy like Hasty this week, an undrafted free agent, and that's a big step down in many respects from Mostert or Coleman, but it's the guys in front of him who block. It's not only the tackles, but it's especially the fullback Kyle Juszczyk and the tight end George Kittle. We've heard and read Bill's praise for Kittle, the best all-around tight end in the game right now, much like Rob Gronkowski, but he's working in tandem so often in their run-blocking scheme with the fullback Juszczyk. I think the Patriots have their hands full there, particularly because they're so light up front, not just on the defensive line, but as we know, they've been playing with seven, even eight defensive backs at times this year. But the linebacking core is a factor without Dante Hightower and the guys we've been accustomed to watching the last couple of years.
Well, meanwhile, on the other side, you think there's a scheme advantage for Cam Newton as it relates to how Robert Saleh, you know, the Mr. Clean there, the defensive coordinator in San Francisco, who the camera loves and gets a lot of, you know.
Oh, does he ever.
He gets a lot of PR. But how does he play defense, and who else plays that kind of defense?
Well, he's a guy that, you know, learned in great part at the NFL level under Pete Carroll out in Seattle and later coached on the staff. He was a linebackers coach for Jacksonville under Gus Bradley. Cover three guy. And we know what Cam Newton did against Seattle's cover three defense, although there are some variations to it. And the thing about this 49ers team is that they don't have the pass rush they've been accustomed to having. You know, they started with a front-to-back defense with Bosa in particular applying pressure on opposing quarterbacks. And so they don't have him, and we know they don't have Sherman, their best cornerback. Jason Verrett's a great story as a cornerback, and he sealed the game against the Rams on Sunday night. He's had a long history of injuries after being a Pro Bowl player for the Chargers. But still, their secondary is not a strength of their defense. And their linebackers, frankly, have been hit hard by injuries. Quan Alexander missed last week's game, and he's likely out this week. At least he missed the last couple of days of practice. Fred Warner's a good player. But I think the Niners are susceptible to this Patriots offense. It's kind of a, you know, in a lot of ways, it's kind of a weakness of each team going up against, in some respects, a weakness of the other when it comes to the passing game. Both of these teams tend to throw it short. You know, Jimmy's, I think, got the second lowest air yards per pass next to Drew Brees, but the guy just ahead of him is Cam Newton. I think in this particular game, the Patriots are going to have opportunities, and they've got to be able to throw the ball downfield against the Niners, which they weren't able to do at all last week against the Broncos. They had the one shot toward Bird on the double move that the Cam missed the throw on.
One more time, Bob. Who did Jason Verrett seal the game with?
That would be the Los Angeles Rams.
Say, all the abuse you take from Beetle and Zoe, you say it's still the Rams.
I swear, in my head I hear Rams.
No,
Rams.
It's not what's...
practice that over again.
The right. Rams.
Bobby, thank you so much for taking the time. We appreciate it. We look forward to the call Sunday afternoon.
Me too, guys. Thank you.
Okay, Bob Sosi here with his weekly stint, the Heat Miser himself. Here's an update from Murray, then right back to your phones on Agenda Free Friday.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Oh, you had a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The COVID-19 situation. Again, I thought the Patriots would be the last team to be affected by this in a negative way. They'd have a plan for everything. But with all of the issues they've had, starting with Cam Newton a couple of weeks ago, it was fine. They were clean. Everything was great. It looked like they were going to have a positive all year long. It's going to be fine. They've cracked the code on COVID-19.
Yeah.
It started 2.5 weeks ago with Cam Newton. And, you know, when you just don't play, when he doesn't play and they don't play, it's actually, was it 3 weeks ago that this whole
yes,
thing?
Yes, it's been 3 weeks since Cam Newton's played.
It's 3 weeks for him. They've been dealing with the issues. They've got interior offensive linemen like James Ferentz, who's on the COVID-19 list. They got a bunch of guys on the COVID-19 list. And we're seeing what happens when you're the one team that is having these issues. And we're going to talk about the Titans coming up. It makes it even more impressive what they've been able to do.
Yep.
Dealing with their own issues. The Patriots haven't been able to deal with it. I mean, you take the Titans out of the building for 16 days, they're champing at the bit to get back and start kicking people's butts. You take the Patriots away, and they feel lost.
That was Mike Florida from early in the week. This is another big talking point of mine. It is. I have a hard time getting past it, Maz. That I was so insistent on the Pats being one of these teams, like Florio said, that would have a plan for everything, would be the last team in the league to get tripped up by this. And they were one of the first. Actually, they're the only one. I mean, really.
Oh, because Tennessee is one in spite of
Tennessee obviously had massive disruption, but they're 2-0. You came back and you didn't even look like half of what you are. So, I think it's, you know, impacted you more than any other team. And like, I thought you'd be the last, not the first. I thought you'd be the 32nd on this list, not the first on this list. And it's disappointing. It's disappointing. It's like, boy. And the way Bill sort of played into it too, it's like, that's not like him either. And so, okay, well, maybe they're on the other side of it. Now let's see them bounce back for it. Can we quit crying about the lack of practice and quit crying about the COVID thing? Like, do you think we're past that, Murray?
It feels like it this last day or so. You know, they've had two practices in a row. I haven't heard too much more coming out of the mouth of Bill Belichick about we need more practice. It's got to be practice. We need practice.
Oh, my God. Remember Bill on was this Tuesday, Jimmy? What was this? What? This is just from one day. It was either Monday.
Yeah, it was Tuesday.
It was Tuesday.
Go ahead.
We need practice. There's got to be practice. How come the league won't let us practice? I'm mad about practice.
We have actual footage to play for you.
Talking about
practice. Hang on with the practice thing. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Practice. Day to day. The way he said day to day that day.
That's the day to day thing.
Yeah. Like
somebody set me up wrong. It's your fault.
No. It's on the rundown. It does say.
Good morning, Bill. As we talk today, are things looking good for a regular week of practice for you guys?
Day to day, Mike. We'll go day by day.
Yeah. And along those lines, couple opportunities for IR guys to potentially come back this week. Any sense on where David Andrews is in that regard?
Day to day. We are day to day on everything.
Yeah.
Good morning, Bill. Given what you guys have been through the past few weeks, is there any thought to just doing away with like in-person meetings, doing virtual meetings as a full-time policy, just staggering guys and not like going to those more intensive protocols just as a full-time thing?
As I said, we'll just take it day by day then.
Are you guys hoping to do more in-person this week or are you planning on more virtual stuff?
Right now we're day by day. We're Tuesday. So see where things are today on Tuesday and make decisions on Wednesday when we know more on Tuesday and so forth. It'll just be day by day. Day to day, Mike. We'll go day by day. Day to day. We are day to day. We'll just take it day by day. Right now, we're day by day. We'll just be day by day.
And that was the day that was the tipping point for me. Like, you're 2 days removed from this hideous loss to this terrible Denver team, where leading into it, it was, oh, we need practice. We don't have enough practice. Again, unsolicited after that game, after you lose it, he starts talking about lack of practice. And by Tuesday, get over it. Get over it. You got back out there. Are you okay now? You happy? You were able to practice?
Big pity party.
I mean, even the questions about the receivers, Harry and Bird this week, he started in with, well, I just say overall we need more practice.
Day to day, Mike.
It's time to get over it. It's time now.
Totally.
Okay, so you had your flare up, you had your thing, and now you're on the other side of it. Now you're going to go, you know, play football and save your season, or are we still going to cry about day to day and lack of practice?
He did. He did a lot of whining.
Day to day, Mike. We'll go day by day, day to day. We are day to day. We'll just take it day by day. Right now, we're day by day. We'll just be day by day.
And so, not that anyone's going to ask him, but I would still like to know, though. Who are you mad at? Are you mad at the league, or are you mad at some of your players?
And just I will say, day by day.
Well, Bill, the way he talked about N'Keal Harry leads me to believe it might be some of his players.
Right now, we're day by day.
Okay.
Well, I know that he isn't blaming himself. That's the one thing I can guarantee you on. The best part of that whole thing is the first two questions, as soon as he says day by day, you hear Reese go,
That's what we got today, Bill. All right. Okay, back to your calls. Nate in Hanover on Agenda Free Friday. What do you got, Nate?
Yep. Hi, guys. So I don't even know if you watched the game last night, that dumpster fire, but it got me thinking, like, Doug Peterson beat the Patriots in a Super Bowl. He's probably did better for 10 questions with Greg, but who's the worst coach to win a Super Bowl, and who's the worst GM to win a Super Bowl?
Okay, good question. Worst coach I got for you?
Switzer.
Barry Switzer. Automatic.
Runaway.
What a buffoon. Clown show.
Complete runaway.
Okay, so it's Barry Switzer. Worst GM?
Woof.
Worst GM ever to win a Super Bowl?
John Elway?
Oh, right, yeah, that's pretty good.
I can take my own medicine.
No way, there's got to be worse.
Okay, we'll think
Assistant
of it.
Assistant idiot, I'll come up with it. I don't know.
Back to your calls after this.
Assistant idiot, I don't know.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Hey, when you call and say two things, three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep two or three things in my head.
Felger and Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We completed the trade papers with San Francisco. And first of all, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Jimmy. And I couldn't ask for him to give us any more than he's given us.
Second down and four. Garoppolo dropping back, looking to throw. Lobs it down the left side. Hogan wide open. Has it at the 10 in stride. Goodbye. Touchdown, Patriots.
Attaboy, Jimmy.
49ers are getting a good player. They're getting a good person. And they're getting a great teammate. And they're getting a good quarterback. And Jimmy's getting a good coach.
Bittersweet man.
Shotgun snap, four-man rush. Grapple fires down the middle. Money. Fort Bennett on the money. And on time, touchdown, Patriots.
Oh, boy, we got a quarterback here. Big boy throw.
He's a talented individual and was a great person to coach. I met with him weekly.
Garoppolo stands in the gun. He takes the snap. He looks to the right with a pump. He shot slides to his left. He throws downfield. Amendola makes a leaping catch at midfield and lands at the 48-yard line.
What a play by Garoppolo. What an unreal play. What pocket presence and poise on third and forever.
We probably had, in my opinion, the best quarterback situation in the league for the last, call it, 2.5 years. It's just not sustainable.
Mitchell throws on the move, finds Mitchell, makes the catch at the 20, pushed back by Jones.
Garoppolo is hurt, man, and he got driven into the carpet on that shoulder. Yeah, his shoulder's bad, man.
Definitely not something that we wanted to walk away from, and I felt like we rode it out as long as we could. But just at this point, felt like we had to make a decision.
If you watch on NBC Sports Boston, the simulcast, it's, you know, got the visuals with Mavs with the love for Jimmy Garoppolo. It's Belichick. That's the story. Belichick's love for that guy. That's all from that one call the day they traded him. Oh, the fawning. It's just.
It just goes on and on.
Getting a great person.
Every time you hear it, it stops in your tracks. It's like, who is this?
Good player. Good teammate. Good person. Good quarterback.
Okay.
Jimmy's getting a good coach.
Let's zip through these calls before we get to Gasper here at 4 o'clock. Ibby and Munsaki. Go ahead, Ibby.
What's up, guys? So I'm 24 years old, and this is the first time in my history of being a fan, a spoiled fan, that I have to worry about my team not making the playoffs. Yep. Like, I'm pretty nervous going into this game. And I think it kind of sucks that everyone is throwing Cam under the bus. One bright thing that I did see was his effort when he fumbled the ball. I think he saw his career flash before his eyes. He got on that fumble. Play better, guys.
Okay, I'll tell you what, Ibby. I mean, that's true. I mean, he went after that ball like he should have in the Super Bowl, and so growth. He's learned. Or he's, you know, whatever. So that's good, right? Like, he learned the next time that it matters, the ball's on the ground, you go get it.
He did. He went after the thing hard.
It's great. I don't know if people are throwing Cam under the bus, but this comes with the territory. You're the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots. You and they have not played well. You're going to get some heat. He doesn't deserve it?
No,
he should be immune to it?
Well, I would say, you know, look, especially here, but you want to win championships. You're a championship caliber quarterback. If that's what you are, the scrutiny comes with it.
So the guy says he's 24. It's the first time in his life that he's had to worry about the Patriots in the playoffs.
Yep.
I was going to say, Ibby, isn't it great? Isn't it refreshing?
Yeah, welcome to the real world, youngin.
Honestly, do any of you sort of like it? Like, the game actually matters, and you're sort of in the balance, and most importantly, you don't know what's going to happen? I mean, I think they're going to win. I like the Pats this week, but I don't know it in my gut like I would if it were a previous, you know, Brady, Belichick, that whole thing.
No, again, on the Cincinnati game, you knew they would come out and answer that week. That first drive, I think Brady sneaked it, if I remember right, for a touchdown. It was like right out of the gate. Nope, we're going to blow doors this week. This coming Sunday, would it shock you if they suck early?
I mean, I don't know. I'm not a fan, so I can't tell you, you know, maybe feel differently, but I find it much more interesting where they are right now. I do. Now, I don't need 6-10, 7-9. That does no one any good. But a little uncertainty here is a different experience, for sure. Tyler in Manchester. Go ahead, Tyler.
Hey, guys. How you doing,
Jack? What do you got?
I just want to talk about the Pats this Sunday. What do you think of Tom Brady coming back to New England for a game?
Okay, I don't think it's going to happen, but thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Scott's in the car. Go ahead. You're next with Felger and Mass.
Yeah, so I think there's something else that needs to be brought up with the whole Brady Garoppolo. If Brady leaves in 18, he definitely doesn't end up on the freaking Buccaneers. So, and if you look at that offseason, in all likelihood, he ends up on the 49ers. So my question for the Brady Bobos is, would you rather have him on the Bucs now or have him on the 49ers and in all likelihood have one more ring than Bill?
Okay. So what do you mean one more ring than Bill?
Well, he's saying that they would have won a championship in San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I don't know why I didn't get that. Yes, obviously. Would you rather him have, right, if you want what's best for Brady and his legacy, should he have gone in 2018 to the Niners?
No, because then you take away the other championship that's also here. And I, you know, because I didn't ever really want him gone until it was as ugly as it got last year. So, no, I'm not going to take away that sixth championship with Brady and the Patriots so that he has, what, two more with the Niners? So, no, I wouldn't have done that.
I mean, look, to me, that would have been, in the long term, that would have been better for everybody. It would have been better for Brady. It would have been better for Belichick.
This is true.
They'd have both been better off.
Would have been better for Garoppolo.
Sure. No question about it. The whole thing was set up. And you know, we can say what we want about Belichick, you know, being cold and casting guys off and, you know, and cruel, if you want to use that word, which I think is a reach. But most of the time when he's made those moves, he's been right.
That's right.
He's been right, and he was right on this one.
We think. You think.
No, he was right. I don't mean, again, I'm taking the emotion out of it. I'm taking the loyalty to Brady out of it. And he was, the decision was play for the long term, not the short. I'm keeping it in general
terms. Yeah, get out a year too early rather than a year late.
Yeah, I think his logic was correct.
And he's right in that, well, and this is partly his fault and their fault for not extending Brady, but it's not like you got Brady for his full run anyway. So the time to cut the cord was then, that 17-18 time frame there, the 2017 into 2018, when Brady and Giselle asked out. They asked out.
I mean, Bill, I think, recognized that it was going to get hard with Brady at the end, and that was the time to get out, and he got vetoed.
Tony and Sonam, what do you think of this?
Hey, let me tell you this. You get Brady and you get Belichick. Brady went to a 7-9 team, and he's going to have a much better record than Belichick's going to have with a 10-6 team that he had last year.
It was 12-4.
Belichick's going to have a losing year this year.
Okay, let's see, Tony. We got lunch on it, right?
And I got to tell you, yes, we do. And I got to tell you, Brady, Belichick had one winning season with Cleveland. He had one winning season with the Patriots until Brady came, and then Brady took off, and you saw what they did. I want to see what he's going to do without Brady, and it's not going to be good.
Okay, well, let's see. We're in the middle of it. We're in the middle of it. This is a big swing week to see what they're going to be this year. These next couple of weeks are going to tell us a lot. We'll see. See if Bill dusts himself off and has a representative competitive team without Tom Brady. We're going to find out in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, this could be a huge swing week. I mean, the Bucs could be 5-2 and the Patriots could be 2-4.
I tell you, Bill would have done himself more favors to change the quarterback when he had a talented team, like in 08, you know, the Castle year, I think what Tony was referring to. You know, he makes the quarterback change the year that his roster is kind of lacking. So high degree of difficulty, but still it's on him. Here's Jason and Mansfield on the vegan thing with Cam Newton. Go ahead, Jason.
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I just wanted to chime in and say that vegans, they don't get heme iron, so heme iron is only attainable from animal sources, whereas plant iron is not considered heme iron, and it's just a little less absorbable.
Okay, Jason, that is definitely way too much knowledge, you know, for that we need. We just, generically speaking, vegans, according to some science and research, have a hard time with their immune systems and injury recovery. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, it's because of the heme iron.
I don't need to know the heme ions.
Yeah, the
what
heme
did he
iron.
Say? What did he say?
Some kind of heme iron. I think it's blood iron from an animal.
Right. I
instead of plant iron, which is based on chlorophyll.
I missed a heme iron.
I guarantee you.
I missed a plant.
That Maz actually knows some of this.
Well, no, I made up the chlorophyll part.
Maz is kind of smart. Anyway, Chris Gasper standing by. We'll talk to him next. His thoughts, and he does have some insight into the Mookie Betts situation, which we hit on a lot this week. He has obviously some thoughts on Brady, Garoppolo, Belichick. He's obviously right in the middle of that debate. So we'll get to Gasper on those items and the status of this current Patriots team right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Nitrane overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.